Michelle Horton's first book is enraging, heartbreaking, and ultimately redemptive. Michelle had just ended a destructive marriage with a heroin-addicted husband, becoming a single mom to 8-year-old Noah, when there was a knock on her door in upstate New York. It was the police, saying she had to pick up her sister Nikki's 2- and 4-year-old kids. And then Michelle learned her sister had shot and killed their father, fearing he'd live up to his promise to kill her whether or not she left him. Michelle'd go on to learn her sister had been violently abused in videos her partner posted online for paying customers. People in town talked about Nikki's bruises. Why didn't Michelle see them? The courts did see them, but a judge sentenced Nikki to prison. And suddenly Michelle was raising 3 kids while fighting to free Nikki. Her memoir is Dear Sister, which is how they'd address each other in letters from prison. Michelle Horton, what a book.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Set the scene for us. When you were realizing how dangerous your own marriage was becoming, it was Nikki who told you how to leave for the sake of your child. Later, you realized maybe she was also talking to herself. Her partner, a popular gymnastic coach, your son, Noah, loved him. You did notice bruises, but what?
There was always an excuse, and I think I didn't want to see on some level, and I also didn't have the imagination to fathom what was actually happening.
But also, you write, in your family, there was a healthy sense of denial about things because of what the adults in your family had also been through. Your mom had been raped by a boyfriend and was surrounded by a culture of don't tell. Nikki, when she was little, had been abused by a neighbor. Nikki tried to tell your mom something was wrong, but your mom told her about the little boy who cried wolf.
Yeah, I mean, denial and avoidance, it was a coping strategy, except it doesn't work in the long run.
Right. Nikki's got these bruises. Child services paid a visit because someone reported the bruises, and 24 hours later, her partner was dead. Now, abusers can get more violent when authorities show up. Nikki later said that's what happened. She had to protect herself. But when police knock on your door and only tell you and your mom pick up the kids, you think they've taken Nikki to protect her?
My first instinct when police are at my door is, that must be it. This will blow over. It's fine. I go to work. I get a text from my mom that just says, homicide. And my whole reality flipped upside down because there's, you know, my sister is the most maternal, kind, was a preschool teacher, hated guns, you know, like, how did this happen?
Well, you're buffeted by that, and suddenly you meet this Greek chorus of women. Elizabeth, Nikki's son's music teacher, Sarah, Nikki's therapist, there's Jen, there's Wendy. Now, what we're going to be discussing now might be difficult for people to hear, so a warning there. It sure was tough for you. Tell us what they told you they knew was happening.
Her therapist had known for years. The therapist got police involved because it reached a point where she was being tortured and it was being filmed and put on porn sites without her consent and at first without her knowledge.
Yeah. I mean, Lori, the landlord, saw signs of rope burns around her neck. And you also find out a police officer was monitoring the videos that were playing on this porn website. He wanted to arrest her partner. Nikki just froze, couldn't do it. The cop later took it on himself to file an alert with the department, and you found out that they could then and there, just on the evidence, have arrested him.
Yes, and he also brought the evidence to the district attorney's office, and from what I understand, the common response was, well, if Nikki isn't going to report, there's nothing we can do, which is actually not true. Yeah. They could have pursued an evidence-based prosecution.
Yeah, I mean, the things that there was evidence were happening to her are repulsive. Her midwife talks about how, again, this is very difficult, her genitals were mutilated.
And it wasn't about sex. They were all punishments for her behaving in a way that he didn't agree with.
Yeah. Well, so you're thinking the legal aspect of this should be fine. Meanwhile, you eventually have to give up your job because you're now raising her 2 magical little children, Ben and Faye, and your own Noah. What are some of the things that you suddenly have to navigate when there's a killing in the family?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, there's so much. You know, you're left with a crime scene that is up to you to get rid of everything, like everything. As the victim, you get assistance. We were not considered the victim. Mm-hmm. We were the perpetrator's family. And dealing with family court, getting custody, continuing to keep the kids in their routines, who do we hire? And then also having to deal with the prosecution, realizing that these are not our friends. It's a very dangerous situation.
Many of the most compelling witnesses on Nikki's behalf weren't called to testify. This was spreading like wildfire through town, people who supported her.
Yeah. And, you know, we live in a country where three women are killed every day. So there's this sense of people talking. It's what do we do?
Yeah. While this community continued to rally, at one point, the prosecutor's side asks, well, if a woman's being abused, why wouldn't she just figure out how not to trigger her abuser? That was actually asked in court.
I felt like we had stepped back in time. I'm thinking, I can't believe it's like this day and age, and these kinds of questions are still being asked by professionals in a courtroom.
Yeah. Well, also, New York had just passed the Domestic Violence Survivors Justice Act, DVSJA, which allows a judge to resentence a domestic violence survivor who suffered abuse that contributed to their conviction. This was Nikki. But the judge in her case chose not to apply this, and in his remarks, he essentially said he didn't believe her. She gets 19 years to life.
It was one of the most demoralizing. It just felt like all the air in the world was sucked out. The DVSJA took 10 years to pass in New York. It's a very common issue that survivors who fight back are then punished. And the judge had discretion and he decided not to use it. And by doing that, put other survivors in the state at jeopardy of the law not working for them. It was just like a double, triple whammy of utter disappointment.
Yeah. Well, you're heartsick. The kids. When you asked Ben, you know, what do you want on your Christmas list? Top of the list is mom. And he's very confident. Santa will take care of this. And yeah. Faye puts on her best dress for her jail visits. You know, mm-hmm. Just what's going on, not just with your niece and nephew, but with your own son?
Yeah, I mean, part of the reason I really wanted to tell my story is to shine a light on what happens to kids. Women's prisons are filled with mothers. It's just so heartbreaking. And that love never dissipated. It never wavered, ever.
It was the thread. What's the children's book you cite?
The Invisible String.
The Invisible String between their hearts.
Yeah.
Which Ben would talk about, a four-year-old.
Yeah.
And then this case goes to an appellate court.
We ended up getting this incredible appellate attorney pro bono. The appellate court decided that she should have been sentenced under the DVSJA, that her evidence and her testimony were more than enough to definitively say she was a victim of abuse. And they resentenced her to 7.5 years, down from 19 years to life.
Right. They also, absolutely, it was scathing towards the Judge McLaughlin, who had, you know, been the sitting judge in the first case. They wrote, the county court's decision was based on an arcane belief that the defendant could have avoided the murder by withdrawing from her apartment, antiquated impressions of how domestic violence survivors should behave.
It was so validating.
Yeah.
We all felt like we were in the twilight zone. So finally, someone in the system said, yo, you're not crazy. She actually is a victim. And to Nikki, it meant everything that finally she was believed.
Yeah. And she's free now.
She's free now. She was released on January 4th.
How's she doing? How are the kids?
Oh, everybody is so happy. I mean, obviously, Nikki has so much healing, but the fact we can all live together and the kids have her at school drop off, and Ben is a theater kid and got to have his mom in the audience for his play recently, and we can finally show the kids that good things are possible.
And what about your Noah? Because there's one moment he gave up so much, including his bedroom,
yeah.
And you have no income, but mm-hmm. at one point, Noah tells you that taking in his cousins was the right decision for you to make as a human, as a sister, but not the right decision as a mother.
Yeah. He felt like he was kind of left in the dust, and he wasn't wrong.
Well, but all I can think of is you both, you and your sister, raised such incredible kids who say the most yeah. astonishing things.
Yeah.
Because they're allowed to.
Exactly right.
Yeah. you rushed to point out all along. It's not uncommon. Hers maybe got more attention towards the end because she's white and young. And
yes.
What's the one thing that you learned through this process you'd want to communicate?
Oh, I mean that the tactics that an abuser uses are the exact tactics that are used in correctional facilities and courtrooms. Isolation, intimidation, degradation, listening to their phone calls.
Yeah. Can you just talk briefly about the people, men and women, who put on purple shirts, the sign of domestic violence, came to protest, who had signs?
Right from the beginning, they are the people who gave us hope that Nikki would be believed, that eventually attracted the appellate attorney, that eventually got to the appellate division. I mean, without that support, dropping a meal off, you know, they don't have to like completely change their life to help, yet it completely changed ours.
That's Michelle Horton. Her book is Dear Sister, A Memoir of Secret Survival and Unbreakable Bonds. Michelle, thank you so much.
Okay, bye.